That's the ease at which you get information. You're always connected and informed. No waiting. So if you're living with diabetes and still using old tech and finger sticks to read your blood sugar, what are you waiting for? US Med carries continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels and accepts Medicare and over 800 private insurers. Visit usmed.com/radio today. That's usmed.com/radio today. And manage your diabetes as easy as...
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, we have Ashley Earhart. Ashley is a member of the Thunder Girls dance team for the NBA's Oklahoma City Thunder, and also she's Miss Oklahoma USA 2022 and host of the A Minute to Mind podcast, which is dedicated to mental health. On the program, we discuss her upbringing in Oklahoma. Is Oklahoma still a football state, or is it slowly warming up to basketball? Being a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder dance team, the Thunder Girls, what a typical day of practice and game day is like. What is the atmosphere like for an NBA game in Oklahoma City, and much more. Ashley is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Oh, hey, kiddo. How was the hill?
Educational.
Oh, learn a new trick?
Yeah, the trick to a happy, fulfilling life, maybe. I learned that mountain air unleashes my inner peace. And rip and pow, well, the whole crew's all, yoo, induces spontaneous joy.
Okay, that's nice.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at IconPass.com.
Keep boredom at bay in any room with reliably fast Wi-Fi throughout your home. All from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Stream rom-coms in the kitchen, binge biopics in the basement, and take your online teammates where they've never gone before, the guest room. Say goodbye to searching for a signal, and hello to Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Click to learn more. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. In some cases, Panoramic Wi-Fi pods sold separately may be required for extended coverage. Restrictions apply.
Hey, kiddo, how was the hill? Did you learn anything?
Yeah, that ripping pow induces spontaneous joy.
The Icon Pass lets you do you at 50 destinations worldwide from $249 adult. Drop in for next winter now and save at IconPass.com.
I think something that people overlook when they think about somebody to look up to or a role model or an idol is themselves. I think you should be your biggest role model, because you should be what you want to see in the world. So for me, I think it's myself. I think it's remembering my potential and remembering what I have to offer and making sure that I show up every day being my very best self. So I think it's important, you know, it's easy to look at other people and try to, and that's okay too, to draw inspiration from other people. But you have to remember just how much potential and how much power and how much change that you have within yourself.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That's the voice. The voice that you heard was of Miss Oklahoma USA, Ashley Earhart, just talking a little bit about having the motivation and just being your own role model, whatever it is you want to do in life, whether it be in beauty pageants or education or athletics or any area of life. And we have her on the program, and we want to welcome her to the program. She is the 2022 Miss Oklahoma USA, and she's also a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder Girls, which is the cheerleading team for the NBA's Oklahoma City Thunder. And she's also the host of a podcast dedicated to mental health called A Minute to Mind. We want to welcome her to the program, Ashley Earhart. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to take this opportunity to talk with you a little bit.
Same here. I'm excited as well, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it. I want to start off with your humble background, your humble beginnings, I should say. You grew up in Oklahoma, so what was your upbringing like growing up in the Sooner State?
Yeah. So I was born right there in Sooner Nation in Norman, Oklahoma. I grew up in a small town just south of there called Lexington. So I was raised by a single mom. You know, you mentioned humble beginnings, and it very much was so.
I grew up just a single child with just a single mom, and I learned a lot, I think, from my mom. I would say that a lot of who I am came from my upbringing, came from my mother. Now, I was fortunate enough to still have my dad in my life. My dad is actually from Ghana, West Africa. So I got a lot of, you know, what it is to be an American and what it is to be African. So it was really cool to have that experience as well growing up. I moved up to Oklahoma City when I was in the fifth grade, and then this has been home ever since. I took a couple detours throughout college, throughout my college experience, but really just my upbringing happened right here in the heart of Oklahoma, Oklahoma City.
I want to stay just with the cultural dynamics for a moment. You mentioned about your mother, and you also mentioned that your dad is from Ghana in West Africa.
Yes.
As far as food is concerned, I know Oklahoma is really big on barbecue. So what was, in terms of cultural dynamics, what was the cuisine like? What I should ask you is this: what are some of your favorite barbecue dishes that you enjoy eating from Oklahoma, and also what are some of your favorite West African dishes that you learned from your father and his upbringing from Ghana?
Right. So it's funny that you mentioned barbecue. I actually don't really like barbecue. It is a staple dish here in Oklahoma and just really all throughout the country, but I'm not really a huge barbecue fan. I do enjoy, you know, a good slab of ribs, just like anybody else, but like brisket, you know, things of that nature are not really my go-to. So I don't really have a favorite when it comes to barbecue, but I do have a lot of West African dishes that I do really enjoy. First one that comes to mind would be jollof. Jollof is a rice with a tomato base, but it's soaked in that tomato base, so it's like kind of like a Spanish rice, but minus flavor. You're going to have obviously more of West African spices included in jollof. So that would be probably one of my favorites. A second favorite would be a dish called fufu, and I always describe it as almost like a dough. It's like a pizza dough or any sort of like pastry dough that's not yet cooked, but it's not quite as stretchy as dough. It'll pull apart really easily. It's traditionally eaten with soup. In West Africa, there's different parts of Africa that eat it differently depending on where you're at. But for my dad's culture, it's traditionally eaten with soup. And then the males specifically will eat it with their hands. They don't actually use silverware when eating the dish. And so that growing up, I was, you know, I was very competitive by nature. And so anything I saw my dad do or my older brothers do, I wanted to be right there in the middle of it doing it as well. And so I often ate my fufu with my hands too. And so it was really neat just to kind of experience, you know, the cultural aspect of eating, which is something I think people forget about. You know, we think of different dishes, but we forget that people eat differently as well. So getting to grow up eating differently while also experiencing different flavors and different cultures, it was really great.
I want to stay just with fufu for a moment. You described the texture of it. Is it similar to grits? Does it have a texture like grits, or is it a little more thicker than that?
Not at all. It's a lot thicker, almost like kind of like Play-Doh, a little more stuck together, not quite as flexible and mobile as Play-Doh, but like a squishy ball of dough. That's the best way I can describe it.
Okay, market solid. Now, I want to move along now to the state of Oklahoma. And I know Oklahoma has had NBA basketball for at least over two decades now. But we know Oklahoma is traditionally a football state, as I mentioned earlier, with the Oklahoma Sooners. And, of course, they're the Oklahoma State Cowboys that play in Stillwater. But I got to ask you this. Is Oklahoma still a football state, or is it slowly warming up to becoming a basketball state?
You know, that's a really great question, and I think it's one that really does require a lot of thought and a lot of research at the fan base, if I'm being 100% honest. I think, you know, Oklahoma, the football experience, whether that be OU or OSU, it runs deep. It runs really, really deep, and I think the success of both the programs at the University of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State University, the history of those programs really speak for themselves, and they've really set a precedent that allows a fan base to be immersed in the football experience. So I think by default, Oklahoma is and will always be a football state. We're very proud of the athletes that come into this state or the athletes that come from this state. And so I think that again, those two large universities have created such an experience that it allows a fan base to be one that is a dedicated fan base and that is a lasting fan base. Now, with the Oklahoma City Thunder and bringing the Thunder in and really growing that program in and of itself and that organization and that franchise, I think it's on the way to becoming truly a basketball state. I will say that, the fans here are unlike fans that I've ever seen before. So the fans that we have are fans that are encouraged and motivated and want to continue to support the Thunder no matter what their season might be looking like competition-wise. So I think really the Thunder's seen a large period of rebuilding. It's really been about rebuilding the organization, and that has come with rebuilding the fan base as well. So I don't know. I think it's a little bit of both. I think you have to look at them separately. You know, at the end of the day, someone who enjoys football might not enjoy basketball. So while Oklahoma will always have a fan base that is dedicated and loyal to football, I think we're really seeing it come up in our fan base of basketball as well.
I look at it as always being a cultural thing, Ashley, because I think people that have grown, if you're from the South or you're the Midwest, it's normally football. Occasionally in the Midwest,
sure,
you get the football and also, yeah, exactly, you get football and basketball, especially in the Midwest with states like Kansas and also with states like Iowa and Indiana. They like their football, but they also love their basketball as well. So it was just interesting, and I wanted to ask you a question about that. And you mentioned the Oklahoma City Thunder, so let's get right to it. You are a member of the Thunder Girls, which is the Oklahoma mm-hmm. City Thunder's dance team representing the NBA. So how did you become a member of the team?
So I actually tried out in July or no, it was August. It was August of last year. So it was actually a really interesting kind of thing that happened. I grew up here in Oklahoma City. I had been to Thunder games before. I'd watched them on TV. I had been out in my community and seen Thunder girls around at different events. And so I knew it was something that I wanted to be a part of. I grew up dancing. I was on my college dance team serving as captain my senior year. So dance was something I knew, was something I was familiar with. Being on a team was also something I knew. I was a track athlete before dancing. So I had a lot of that already. And I went throughout college, moved back home, and then found myself trying to figure out what was next. What did I want to do next with my life, with my career? Did I want to go and further my education? There was all these things that I was weighing the pros and cons of. And then finally, I kind of just decided, you know what? I think I want to continue to dance. And the best way for me to do that was to join a professional team. Now, I really didn't want to leave Oklahoma again. Like I said, I'd spent some time in two other states for school. So I wanted to stay put. And so obviously the Thunder is the professional team that we have here. And it's just, 10 miles down the road from my house. So I knew that this would be something that I could pursue and it would be easy and affordable and doable for right at the time in my life that I was in. And so I went down. I had actually filled out the application to apply, and our tryout dates had been moved. So they were supposed to be in July, and then we got an email saying that they had been moved back to August. Now, this actually created a huge conflict schedule for me because I was set to fly to Illinois to compete in a national pageant in the middle of our tryout. So how the tryouts work is we have the first round, preliminary round, open to anyone and everyone. You come try out. From there, they make a cut for finals, and finals are 4 days long. And so I was going to miss 2 days of finals if I were to make it to that next round. So I emailed the coach and just kind of explained to her the situation, let her know that I was going to compete in this pageant. I expected her honestly to say, too bad, better luck next year. If you can't be here, you can't try out. Thankfully, she emailed me back and said, go ahead and come to the first round. If you make it past the first round, then we'll talk. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go and give it my best. So that's what I did. I went to that first round, did the best that I could, was fortunate enough to make it to finals. And I spoke with the coach afterwards and reminded her who I was. And she said, I could still come for 2 days of tryouts. And then the last 2 days that I missed, it would just I would just have to miss them, and hopefully my 2 days would be good enough to reserve me a spot on the team. So that's what I did. I came on Monday and Tuesday of that week, and on Tuesday evening, I did everything that the other girls would be doing the other 2 days. I did it by myself, and she recorded it for the other judges to see. So I was there really, really late until about midnight that night, went home, packed, went to bed about 3, was up by 4:30, flying out to Illinois. So I was actually in Illinois competing in a pageant when I found out that I made the team. And so it was a whirlwind of a week for me. It really was. And again, it was an experience that I thought I might not get to have due to a scheduling conflict. But yeah, it all worked out. And I just finished my rookie season with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it was one that was filled with a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations, but also a lot of joys. So yeah, that's kind of how I became an Oklahoma City Thunder girl.
Wow, what a journey that was, and congratulations on making the team. And I want to ask you about a typical day of practice. We know that whether you're dancing in the NBA or any professional sports league, for that matter, we know the practices can be very grueling. As you mentioned earlier, you were the captain of your dance team while you were in college, but you also participated in sports before getting into dance. So can you describe what a typical day of practice is like?
Yeah, so something that not a lot of people realize is just how hard we work. We are paid to do a job, and we are expected to do that job well, just like in any other job. And so we work really, really hard. So a typical day of practice, we practice in the evening. Depending on what the game schedule looks like, kind of depends on what days we have practice. So typically it was in the middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But again, that kind of varied depending on what the schedule was with games. And we would practice for about 3 hours every night. And we were often learning routines. You know, we'd learn one night, and we had a game the next, and we were taking that routine that we had learned, and we were performing it. So practices were really rigorous. We put in a lot of work in those 3 hours. As soon as we walked through the door, we were going until the second we walked out. So it really took a lot. It took a lot of mental strength, which I wasn't really expecting, to be honest. It took a lot. I'd have to go back and count for sure, but we did around, I would say, about 15 to 18 different routines throughout this season. So it was very much, we go in 1 week, we learn one, we perform it, it's done, we move on to the next. So it was a very fast-moving season, not only just with the schedules of the games, but with practices. It was constant. It was ever-evolving. And again, we were expected to do a job and do it well, and so that's what we did. Every time we walked through the doors in practice, we immediately started, and like I said, we went until the very last second because we were always trying to make sure that we looked our best, not only as individuals, but as one cohesive team.
All right, you mentioned about a typical day of practice and the long hours and not just the physical but the mental strain. So now when you put it all together, can you describe what a game day is like?
Yeah, so game days are obviously probably one of every professional dancer's favorite parts. You know, it's what we work so hard for, those moments. So game days were really long. They were really, really long. So we started – me personally, actually, I guess I should speak for myself, my game day started around 2. So every game that was on a weekday or a Saturday, tip-off was at 7. Games on Sundays, it was at 6. So on a typical weekday or Saturday, my game day would start about 2. So I would get ready, get everything I needed, review my packing list for that game, making sure I had every uniform I needed. We changed uniforms 2 to 3 times per game. So I had to, you know, really make sure that I had everything in my bag. There was a time that I actually didn't and had to make a quick drive home during right before game started, actually, to get some things. But so around 2, I was making sure, you know, I was ready. My bag was packed, had everything I needed, and I would leave my house and then go. Because of COVID, we would be tested before every home game. So I would go down to the arena, go ahead and get clocked in, get into to the site where we'd be tested, get all of that done. And then I would come back to my car, and I would have like this 30, 45-minute break. And it was probably my most favorite part of game days because it allowed me to just be alone, be in silence, really make sure I was in the right headspace to prepare for what I was about to do, and also just give me time to reflect on the day I had had, the week I was having. It was really just my alone time. Because once I walked through those doors of the arena, I was never alone, which I loved, but I was then known as Thunder Girl Ashley. So I just wanted to make sure that I had those moments to myself before stepping into that role. So I would wait in my car to get my COVID test, would go then into the arena, present my test, would get through security, make sure all of that was good. And then I would go down into our locker room and unpack and make sure again that I had all the uniforms I needed. By this point, it would be around 4:30 or 5. I then began to finish getting ready if I hadn't done so already at home, making sure my hair and makeup was all good to go. And then I would grab dinner. They serve this dinner every night. So I would always grab dinner, and I would usually get whatever they were serving. Dessert was typically a chocolate cake, which I loved, and then I would always get a Diet Coke. So that was kind of my game day traditional, was that chocolate cake and Diet Coke, which probably is not the most, perfect thing that an athlete should be eating, but it was my little treat. Then I would go back and review my game day assignments, making sure I knew exactly where I was supposed to be in the arena, when I was supposed to be there. There was a lot of pregame activities that happened, so a lot of times we were assigned to different activities or events throughout the arena. So if I had one of those, I would head to that. About 6:50, we would go over all of our ditties, which is what we call our sideline routines, or when there's a timeout and we go on the court and we're not doing a full routine. So we would go over all of those all together as a team. We would grab our palms and head off and get ready for tip-off. And by 7 o'clock, the game had started and we were ready to go. And so that was kind of the typical game day for me. Games typically about 2.5 hours I'd be out of there. So my days would start about 2 and I'd be home about 10. So they were very long days, but they were some of the most rewarding days, and I'm so thankful for them.
Wow, it definitely is a lot that goes on in preparation for the game, and even on game day, there's so much more going on. But when you put the work together, and from the what you were describing, it's definitely all well worth it. And let's stay with just NBA basketball for a moment. Again, you being a member of the Thunder Girls for the NBA's Oklahoma City Thunder, talked earlier about Oklahoma slowly warming up to basketball a bit, even though it's still primarily a football state. But I want to ask you, what is the atmosphere like for an NBA game in Oklahoma City?
Oh, my goodness. You know, not to be biased or anything, but you truly can't beat it. I don't know about this year or recent years, but previous years, the Thunder game day experience was voted one of the, top 10 best game day experiences. And I think it was pretty high on the list of the 10 as well. I'd have to go back in and look for sure. But the Thunder game day experience is truly unlike anything you're going to get anywhere else. And I think that has a lot to do with the heart of the organization, the people that I got to work with, the game day staff, the event crew, the entertainment team, all of the people that put their heart and soul into the game day experience. Because what our job is to make sure that the fans have an enjoyable and memorable and pleasant time. That's really what we're going for. Of course, we want the Oklahoma City Thunder to win every game. We want them to be the best in the NBA. You know, we want those things, but even more so than that, we want our fans to come back. We want them to have an experience that they can't compare to anything else. And so every single person employed by the Oklahoma City Thunder puts their heart and their soul into what they're doing. And the Thunder is really great about providing us the training as well. Even as dancers, we went through training specifically created by a gentleman who has recently passed away, but who was employed by the Thunder and created this training to ensure that the employees of the Thunder, we were all trained the same. We all were working towards the same goal with the same mission in mind. And so I think because of that, it has really allowed the Thunder to create a game day experience that is unlike anything from anywhere else. And it's really special to get to be a part of, but it's even more special to get to stand on the court and look out and see the faces and see you know, their reactions and see the interactions that are happening between you and the crowd. And it's just, it's really, really neat. And I think that was probably one of my favorite parts was we sit on stools in the stands. And oftentimes if I notice someone or if I happen to make eye contact with someone, I would get up from my stool, even in the middle of the game, would get up and go into the crowd and meet this person, especially if it was a young girl or someone that had been watching us. And just take that time to make that fan connection because, again, of course, my job is to quite literally cheer on the Thunder, but above that, my job was to connect with each and every person I could. And so I think that's really what makes the game day experience in Oklahoma City so special is that we care about how our fans are feeling. And as long as they're feeling good, then we know we're doing our job.
I want to stay just with Oklahoma City for a moment. You mentioned one of the joys, and you mentioned about what the atmosphere is like for an NBA game in Oklahoma City, and you mentioned about the connection and how management goes out of their way to make sure that the fans there feel welcome. We know that the NBA has their big market cities such as New York and LA and Chicago and Miami, but we know Oklahoma City is a small NBA market similar to like New Orleans and San Antonio and also Denver. What do you think, in your opinion, are the positives of Oklahoma City being a small NBA market?
I think the positives really come down to the fact, and I'm thinking about how to word this the right way, but the fact that, and okay, so I'm going to say this and then let me explain. I think the fact that the Thunder is really all we have, and what I mean by that is our fan base is not conflicted with other teams. Our fan base is not conflicted really with other sports. Now, of course, you know, we touch on the football and basketball kind of where Oklahoma leans as far as the states, but at least professionally, the Thunder is really all we have. And that causes our fans to stand united with one supporting factor, and that being the Thunder. You know, all of our fans are supporting the Thunder. We're not conflicted between other teams. We're not torn between other sports. Our fan base is directed towards one thing and one thing only. And I think that's because we are a smaller market. When you get into those larger markets and those bigger cities, you're competing against sometimes other professional teams and also other professional sports, whether that be both basketball and football, or both basketball and baseball, or football, basketball, and baseball. So your fans then begin to disperse into different sports teams and different sports in general. So I think that's like really the treasure of coming from a smaller market is we're all collected and we're all working together to support one team, whereas those larger markets, they start to get separated. There starts to be a little division, and like in any sport, there begins to be a little competitiveness. You don't want to say that you know you're a fan of both basketball teams that are in Dallas or wherever you're at, or you don't want to, you know, show your allegiance to the Cowboys and not the Mavs. So you're starting to really get some separation in those bigger markets. But I think the really special thing about the smaller ones, such as Oklahoma City, is we all have one common goal, and that's to see the Thunder succeed.
I want to stay just with the Thunder for a moment. Do you have any interaction with Sam Presti and Clay Bennett in Thunder management?
No, so it really depends. You know, there's a hierarchy of management when it comes to things like that. Now, I always look at it as when people see me in uniform, when people see Thunder across my chest, they see whatever they want to see. So they're seeing the players when they look at me. They're seeing the game day experience when they look at me. They're seeing Sam Presti and Clay Bennett when they look at me. They're seeing Coach Mark Daigneault when they're looking at me. So it really just, that's what I always try to keep in mind. So while my job, again, is to connect directly with the fans, at the end of the day, I'm an employee for the Oklahoma City Thunder, just like anybody else. So no, to answer your question, no, but I always try to remember who I'm representing and what I'm representing.
All right, fair enough. And, you know, with your job title of being a member of the Thunder Girls for the Oklahoma City Thunder, we know it's all about the music. And when you're at an NBA game or any sporting event, it's all about keeping it up-tempo as possible. So I got to ask you, what are your favorite music and artists that you enjoy listening to?
You know, that's such a tough question. It's probably, I've done a lot of interviews and done a lot of sit downs and really talked with a lot of people, but this is always my least favorite question out of all the many, many things I've been asked, which is so funny because for a lot of people, this is the easiest question to answer. Throughout this season specifically, there's a season in my life in basketball and season in my life personally. I really needed music that kept me encouraged, kept me upbeat, kept my energy up. So I can't really say a favorite, but what I can say is I love anything with a good beat and a good tempo. Now, I did get a little biased throughout this season. So one thing that our game day in entertainment staff does is when fourth quarter happens, we play Thunderstruck, the song Thunderstruck, which is very appropriate for, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder. So that really quickly became one of my favorite songs because it became a tradition and the fans knew that tradition. So they always stood up when it came on. They always, you know, chanted Thunder when that part of the song came on. So it like quickly became a collective experience that I had as an Oklahoma City Thunder girl with the Oklahoma City Thunder fans. And it was just really cool to see and experience and be involved in. And I would get chills every single time, every fourth quarter I got chills. So that really quickly became one of my favorite songs. It became a song that I listened to obviously on game days, but even outside of that, just when I need something to pump me up or get me excited, Thunderstruck is probably my go-to.
Awesome. Indeed. It's a great song right there by AC/DC. And I tell you what, that song Thunderstruck gets fans hyped no matter the sport, whether
yes.
it be basketball, baseball, football, whatever. You play that song is universal, and then everybody bopped their head to that song. So I want to move along now to something. Yep, absolutely. And I want to move along now to the title that you have. You are the 2022 Miss Oklahoma USA, and congratulations on that honor. So how did you earn that prestigious title?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. So my journey through pageantry was kind of a long one. It kind of took a lot of different turns. You know, I touched on when I was trying out for the Thunder, I had a scheduling conflict with a pageant. So really, if I give you the short, long answer, it all began for me in Arkansas University, and I needed a way to pay for my schooling. Now, like a lot of young girls, I grew up watching the Miss America pageant on TV. You know, I wanted to be Miss America, but I didn't really truly grasp what that meant until I got to college. I, through some personal experiences, realized that I had a story that people needed to hear because I was not the only one with a similar story. So that's when mental health, specifically depression, became kind of a passion of mine. And I figured out that I could reach a lot of people about that topic and also pay for my schooling through pageants. And so that's exactly what I did. I signed up for a local pageant in Jonesboro, Arkansas, where Arkansas State is, ended up winning on my first try and was headed to the state pageant of Miss Arkansas. Ended up as second runner-up that year with several other accolades and finished with $17,400 in scholarship money. So I knew right then and there that was something I wanted to continue to do. So I actually competed for 3 years in Arkansas, totaling over $27,000 in scholarship money, completely paying for my bachelor's degree with some left over for my master's. I had taken out a loan my freshman year and was able to pay that loan off as well through the scholarship dollars I was awarded through competing. But then I was graduating. I was graduating Arkansas State, was moving back to Oklahoma. Oklahoma was always home, so I decided I wanted to compete in Oklahoma. So that's what I did. I competed for Miss Oklahoma within the Miss America organization, and COVID happened. So I actually didn't get to compete that year. Everybody had to sit out a year. We came back the next year. I competed this past summer at Miss Oklahoma, where I finished third runner-up, and again, more scholarship dollars. So I accumulated even more to go towards my master's, but I was aging out. So there is an age limit when competing within the Miss America organization, and I had reached that age limit. And so I could still compete in the Miss USA organization. but I didn't know if that's really what I wanted to do. So I took that summer to examine, like I mentioned earlier, kind of figure out where was I at in my life? What did I want to do with my career? What did I want to do with my education? Personally, what were my goals? And so I kind of started to group all those things together. Swim the Thunder kind of fell into my lap and became something I wanted to pursue, as well as competing in a national pageant in a small town in Illinois called Hoopston. This pageant is the Miss National Sweetheart Pageant. It's been around for several years. And so I went and competed against girls from all across the country there, had the most amazing time, ended up winning the pageant as well as more scholarship dollars. And so I came home and quickly, the day I got back, I immediately went to Thunder practice. And so I was shifting gears out of pageants completely. Spent some time getting ready for the start of the season with the Thunder and realized how much I missed pageantry, how much I missed the platform that it gave me to reach people, the difference that I could make through pageantry, I really started to miss. And so I kind of had this goal of wanting to go as far as I could. And I knew that one way to do that was through the Miss Oklahoma USA organization. And so that's what I decided to do. I signed up for the pageant, competed for the first time ever in the Miss USA organization just a couple of weeks ago at the very end of March. And won and ended up winning Miss Oklahoma USA. And I will now be representing Oklahoma at the Miss USA competition. We don't know when it is yet, but when it comes this year, I will be there representing Oklahoma. So kind of a full circle moment. You know, a lot of times we have ideas of the directions our life is going to go. And we have these plans and we are certain that that is what we are meant to do. But things quickly change and you realize why things didn't work out. And that time in Arkansas and the time within the Miss America organization, it didn't work out for me for a reason because this is what I was meant to do. So I'm really excited and very honored to get this opportunity.
Awesome. Congratulations again on that. And I learned something new. I had no idea there was an age limit to enter the Miss America pageant. What is the age limit to enter the Miss America pageant?
So it was originally 25. They actually, when I have left, you know, I like to say I had some small part in this. So when we competed at Miss Oklahoma, the age limit was 25. You couldn't be any older than 25 to compete. And Chantel Krebs, who is one of the CEOs of the Miss America organization, she was at Miss Oklahoma. And she was talking to me afterwards, and she said, you know, are you going to come back? Are you going to compete? And I said, no, I can't. I've aged out. And I kind of jokingly told her, now, if you raise the age limit, I'll come back. And she kind of laughed, you know, when we went on, and that was that. And actually, when I was in Illinois competing in that pageant, they actually did raise the age limit to 26. So I technically still would have had 1 year left of eligibility to compete within the Miss America organization. But at that point, I had already personally closed that door. Mentally, emotionally, I had put that kind of dream I had put that aside, and I was ready to move on to the next thing. So I actually didn't go back and compete, even though I would have had another year. But that age limit is 26.
Okay. What's the age limit to enter the Miss USA pageant?
I think 27 or 28, so it's a little bit older, which to me is more applicable to the everyday woman, just because, you know, the Miss America organization is the largest scholarship provider for young women in our country, but a lot of women go further than just their bachelor's. You know, most people graduate with their bachelor's about 22 or 23, but then a lot of women want to go on and get their master's or their doctorate, and so I think the Miss America is trying to cater to those women that are still in school at 24, 25, 26, 27. So I really hope that they continue to move positively in that direction. Because again, I think the Miss USA system has it right, as it's to where women are still ambitious and still driven and still working towards lofty goals at, you know, 26, 27, 28 years old.
Awesome. Indeed they are. And definitely it's still an amazing thing on how you entered into the world of beauty pageants and just how the dedication it took. As you said, you were able to use it to your advantage to pay for your college to earn scholarship money. So definitely kudos to you on that. And I want to stay in the world of beauty pageants for a moment. There's always a misnomer about them that we've seen dramatizations of these pageants where it can get catty from time to time between contestants and whatnot. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
You know, it's funny that you ask that. So I think much like with anything, especially when it comes down to a competition, there's going to be sometimes some dirty play. There really is. And so fortunately enough, I mean, there's been times where I've experienced people who maybe just aren't very nice, who genuinely maybe don't have your best interests in mind, just aren't very friendly. But I think that's with anything. I really think that's going to come up in anything. And so, unfortunately, pageants do kind of get that bad rap where a lot of that cattiness can be seen, a lot of the drama. But for me, I always look for the best in people. So when I do come in contact with people who I can tell just aren't very nice or who maybe don't seem very friendly, I try to just remove myself from that, because while there may be one of those, there's going to be five girls who are supportive and who are encouraging and who are helpful and who want to be your friend. So I always look for those people. I try to ignore and not give even a second thought to the people who don't always have the best intentions, because quite frankly, it's not worth the time. And you're there to compete. You're there to do a job. And so that's really what I try to focus on when I enter into a pageant.
Amen to that. You said the key words right there. It's just a waste of time. It's just, you know, not waste your time. It's definitely not worth your energy. So I'm glad that you focus on the positive side of that. And I want to talk about the platform that you run on with the holding the title of Miss Oklahoma USA, and you touched on it, and that's mental health. What was your reasoning for touching on the platform of mental health? Did you go through any bouts of having mental health, or were there any family members or close friends that made you draw close and to draw on this topic?
Yeah, for sure. So I was actually diagnosed with depression in February of 2016. And it was obviously a very dark and very isolating time. But once I defeated my depression, I knew that I was starting to recognize, rather, that I was not the only person who was feeling the way that I was feeling, but no one was talking about it. Like, no one was talking about it. And I clearly am a talker. I'm a storyteller. I love to communicate. I love to connect with people through conversation. And so I knew I was in a place that I was in a strong and good place personally, mentally, I realized that this was a story that people needed to hear. And so I did just that. I actually wrote a blog post, kind of just with the whole story of it all. And it quickly caught a lot of attention. A lot of people reached out to me sharing similar stories. And that's when I really realized that I could make a difference. And so that's what I did. I took that experience and ran with it. So it's been since 2017, really, that I've been running with this personal platform of mine, which I've titled Defeating Depression, Promoting a Healthy Mind. And I have since been able to speak with thousands of people about depression, about how to stay mentally well, about how to support someone in your personal life, whether that be friends, family, coworkers, anybody who is going through their own bouts of depression, how to look for those signs in people, what to do in a crisis situation. I've spoken with counseling centers, school administrators, teachers, and students, as well as legislative members, about what we can do as Oklahomans to continue to see a betterment in the way that mental health for Oklahomans is viewed. And so it really started with a personal struggle that I overcame and realized that I was well-equipped in more ways than one to help someone else overcome the same. And so it's really, again, it's kind of started with a simple conversation that has since grown into conversations that I'm able to have, you know, on the House floor at the Capitol of the state of Oklahoma. So it's really just grown, and it's been tremendous because I really got to see and hear of the benefits that people have had through the work that I've been able to do. And so what started out as something, like I said, very dark and isolating has since turned into something very bright, and it's truly turned into a community.
Awesome. I want to stay just with the battle that you conquered in regards to, you mentioned about you suffering from depression, and it was a personal struggle that you had. But did you have any other struggles, maybe professionally, that led on to this, or this was, as you mentioned earlier, it was something personal that you were going through?
So I actually got my degree in psychology, which is really neat because it allowed me a really in-depth look at my own self. So the thing about depression is there's a lot of different reasons that a person can become depressed. Depression is an illness in the brain. There's a imbalance in the hormones that are being produced, and that can be caused by a lot of different reasons. So it really takes the help of a professional to begin to uncover and see and figure out for each person. You know, you're looking at family history. Does your family have a history of depression? You're looking at your environmental factors. You're looking at your professional factors. You're looking at, you know, all these things. So for me, really, I think it was a combination of a lot of different things. I was moving from my hometown of Oklahoma City to Kansas. I was completely alone in a new state. I was an athlete, and it was kind of all consuming, being a college athlete. It was all I did. It was all I thought about. It was, you know, the first thing on my mind when I opened my eyes and the last thing on my mind when I closed them. So it was just a lot of things, I think, really, for me, which again is why I did pursue a degree in psychology and want to continue on to get my doctorate in sports psychology, because people don't realize just the mental toll that being an athlete, whether that's high school, college, professional, or recreational, no matter what field of athletics you were in, being an athlete is, I would say, 40% mental and the 60% physical. The mental component of athletics is huge, and I saw that firsthand as an athlete myself. I've seen that firsthand being immersed in the world of professional athletics, and I know, again, through personal experience as well as my educational experience, that sports psychology would be something I think I would excel in.
It's amazing how you mentioned about the 60-40 deal as far as physical and mental is concerned. We spend, not just athletes, but just everyday human beings spend so much time on the physical side of things, but that mental is extremely important. If you don't have that in check, everything will definitely go to waste. And I want to stay just with the platform that you're passionate about, which is mental health. You mentioned about you being Miss Oklahoma, and now you're going to be competing real soon in the Miss USA pageant. Did you ever have an opportunity to meet Chesley Crist?
No, I did not. I did not. But, you know, like any true pageant fan, and really just as a person in general, I looked up to her in a lot of ways. I think a lot of people did. And so, you know, that's another component of just kind of how you mentioned, of just human beings, and not necessarily athletes, not necessarily a pageant contestant, just humans in general. You really truly never know what someone is going through. You really truly never know the struggles. And so that is why I think I started the conversations that I have, and I hope that others continue the conversations as well, because there can never be enough said, done, or enough time dedicated to making sure that people are okay. Because even people who you may think are doing well, are successful, who have had successes that have led to other successes, much like Chesley, you never know. Those successes don't discredit the fact that people are humans, and humans go through things, and humans feel things, and humans experience things. And so I hope it's my hope just that as human beings, we continue to look out for each other, especially now more than ever, that we continue to check in on the ones that we love and that we care about, because, like I said, you just never know.
Absolutely. And again, rest in peace to Chesley. I had the pleasure of interviewing her a while back. Matter of fact, this was right after she won the Miss USA pageant, and that was the same platform that she champion, which was mental health, and she talked about her struggles with mental health, and she spoke as a mention of what you've done and what you're continuing to do. She did the same thing as well. So definitely rest in peace to Chesley, and it's important to have your mental health checked and make sure that you stay on guard, and your mental mind frame is great at all times. And
for sure.
I just want to ask you, Ashley, last question about mental health. What do you think the school system should do? You mentioned about your native state of Oklahoma. What should the school system do, whether it be public or private school? What do you think they should do in terms of addressing mental health as well as raising emotional intelligence?
Oh, man, that's a tough question because, you know, my immediate answer is a lot. It's quite frankly, we need to do a lot because there is nothing more precious than, you know, the mental well-being of our young people, because at that point, especially those high school students, you look at, you know, middle school and high school, their brains are already biologically changing and shifting, and you know, they're so fragile. They don't even realize it, but they're so fragile. And we have to make sure that our students are set up for success, not only academically, but in their personal and emotional lives as well. And so I think we really need to do a lot. I think the first thing is we need to start truly across the board, just throughout the Department of Education at a national level, really start to implement courses. You know, we have health courses in school, but mental health courses as well, or incorporating mental health into a large part of those health courses. You know, when I first started getting into schools several years ago and visiting with administrators and teachers, a lot of them were scared to discuss mental health because they didn't want to give students any sort of ideas. And finally, I had a conversation with one of my former school counselors, someone that I was very close with who was a mentor to me. And finally I asked her, what does that even mean? What do you mean we're scared of giving these students ideas? Because here's the thing, they know all of the words that come with mental health, depression, all of those are they know and they're aware and they're having these conversations amongst themselves. So why can't we have those conversations with them? Making sure that they're fully knowledgeable on what it means to be mentally well, fully knowledgeable on what depression means. So I think we need to do a lot, but I think one of those first things is really incorporating mental health into a part of the everyday curriculum in our schools.
Very well put, and thank you so much for addressing about mental health, which is, you know, it's been affecting Americans for so long, and I'm glad that it's finally getting the attention that it deserves. And I want to talk about continuing with mental health, a podcast that you have called A Minute to Mind. Just tell everybody about what the A Minute to Mind podcast is all about.
Yeah, so I actually got asked about my podcast in my Miss Oklahoma USA interview, my private interview with the judges. And so what I kind of told them was really my podcast was a way for me to reach as many people as possible at the time and convenience of those people. And so, you know, a podcast is something anyone can go back and listen to. They can listen to when they're driving to work. They can listen to when they're cooking dinner in the morning, when they're getting ready for work. You know, podcasts are available at all times, almost anywhere. And so I wanted something that could reach a lot of people at the convenience that they could be met at. And I wanted to really just channel some of the thoughts that I was having, some of the conversations that I wanted to spark. And so for me, I started my podcast, A Minute to Mind, in which I just discuss different topics, whether that be mental health, relationships, kind of it all circles around mental health, but incorporating just, you know, your physical well-being, mental well-being, how that all coincides together, just really experiences that I've had, really just giving people an in-depth look at me and what is on my heart and what is, you know, on my mind. And it's just a moment to kind of pause and just allows me to, again, channel all those thoughts in my head into a conversation that can hopefully, you know, meet people right where they are.
Awesome. And tell everybody where they can find you, Ashley, on social media, as well as A Minute to Mind podcast and any websites that you have. Let them know that as well. And also let everybody know where they can find the Oklahoma City Thunder Girls, as well as the Oklahoma City Thunder on the web and social media.
For sure. So if I forget something, let me know. I'm trying to think right now of all the different social platforms that I currently have. So my personal Instagram is my name, Ashley_Earhart, E-H-R-H-A-R-T. That's my personal Instagram. You can also find me at the Miss Oklahoma USA Instagram, which is Miss OK USA. Also, my podcast Instagram is, my podcast Instagram is A Minute to Mind Podcast. You can also find the Oklahoma City Thunder Girls at OKC Thunder Girls. I think that was like it. Okay. And then as far as listening to the podcast, A Minute to Be Mine can be found on both Spotify and Apple podcasts. So the best and easiest place for you to listen. Hopefully it's there, as well as all the different social media. You're able to find me. You know, I'm all over the place. I'm a very busy person, but I really wouldn't have it any other way. So I think I included all the social media tags. If I forgot something, let me know. But yeah, those are them.
Awesome. Do you have any websites or a blog site for the listeners out there that they may want to check out?
I do not. You can always go over to the Miss Oklahoma USA website, see what I'm doing, as well as if there's any appearances. I'm available for speaking engagements, parties, civic events, whatever it may be. The appearance request form is on the Miss Oklahoma USA website. But other than that, that's it.
That you heard it from her. She's Ashley Earhart. She is a member of the OKC Thunder Girls, which is the cheerleading team for the NBA's Oklahoma City Thunder. She's also the Miss Oklahoma USA 2022, and she's also has a great podcast dedicated to mental health called A Minute to Mind. Ashley, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. I had a fantastic time, and I, again, thank you for this opportunity.
You're welcome. I had a great time as well, and we'll be back with more right after this.
I think something that people overlook when they think about somebody to look up to or a role model or an idol is themselves. I think you should be your biggest role model, because you should be what you want to see in the world. So for me, I think it's myself. I think it's remembering my potential and remembering what I have to offer, and making sure that I show up every day being my very best self. So I think it's important. You know, it's easy to look at other people and try to, and that's okay too, to draw inspiration from other people. But you have to remember just how much potential and how much power and how much change that you have within yourself.
McDonald's Spicy Chicken McNuggets are back. Are they spicy? You betcha McNuggets. Now, buy one 4-piece spicy chicken McNuggets and get a second 4-piece for $1. Spicy chicken McNuggets are breaded with tempura and spiced with aged cayenne seasoning. They pack a lot of heat, and they're back for a limited time. Wash them down with a refreshing Dr. Pepper, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. McDonald's Spicy Chicken McNuggets are back. Are they spicy? You betcha McNuggets. Now, buy one 4-piece spicy chicken McNuggets and get a second 4-piece for $1. Spicy chicken McNuggets are breaded with tempura and spiced with aged cayenne seasoning. They pack a lot of heat, and they're back for a limited time. Wash them down with a refreshing Dr. Pepper, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Michael Broussard was born and raised in Baton Rouge. Michael is also sharing his health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like his DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact his health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Baton Rouge. Allison Landry was born and raised in Shreveport. Allison is also sharing her health data with all of us, the largest and most diverse research program of its kind, so that researchers can study how things like her DNA, lifestyle, and environment impact her health. What clues do you hold? Join all of us to help researchers look for answers to health's toughest questions. You may even learn something about yourself. Answers are in all of us. To learn more, visit joinallofus.org/Shreveport.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Ashley Earhart, a member of the Thunder Girls dance team for the NBA's Oklahoma City Thunder, and also Miss Oklahoma USA 2022 and host of A Minute to Mind podcast, which is dedicated to mental health. And until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
That's the ease at which you get information. You're always connected and informed. No waiting. So if you're living with diabetes and still using old tech and finger sticks to read your blood sugar, what are you waiting for? US Med carries continuous glucose monitors, which provide real-time readings of blood glucose levels, and accepts Medicare and over 800 private insurers. Call 1-888-US-MED-65 today. That's 1-888-US-MED-65 today. And manage your diabetes as easy as...
McDonald's Spicy Chicken McNuggets are back. Are they spicy? You betcha McNuggets. Now, buy one 4-piece Spicy Chicken McNuggets and get a second 4-piece for $1. Spicy Chicken McNuggets are breaded with tempura and spiced with aged cayenne seasoning. They pack a lot of heat, and they're back. For a limited time, wash them down with a refreshing Dr. Pepper. Only at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.